Welcome to the Between Dreams podcast. Jacqueline Marfuji is our guest. What's up? Welcome back and welcome for the first time to new listeners. So glad you're here. My name is Chris Ruggiero. I'm the host of the show. This is the Between Dreams podcast where I bring you amazing stories of incredible people who are out there making stuff happen to inspire you to get out there and make something happen in your own life. You're thinking about something, you're dreaming about something, you're telling your friends about something, but you're not doing it. You're thinking about the hurdles, the roadblocks, and the things that could possibly go wrong. We're here to tell you everything's going to be okay. You just got to get started. Stop thinking about it. Jump in. Make things happen. Our guest today is Jacqueline. She's making things happen. She's doing stand-up comedy and hosting a podcast, and we're going to talk all about this kind of stuff. And so happy you're here. If you enjoy this show, we need your help. Spread the word. Let somebody know. If you know somebody who you think will benefit from hearing this, send them a link. Let them know that this is the best podcast ever and that they should subscribe and listen and also review and rate on iTunes or wherever you're listening. As always, you can listen on iTunes, podcast apps, Stitcher, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, or the website chrisruggiero.com/podcast. Whatever works for you. We're going to get right into it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Here we go. Welcome to the show.
What's up, guys? My name is Jacqueline Marfuji, and I just hit my 10-year anniversary in Hollywood.
Ooh, congrats. You survived.
I know, right? It's weird. I moved here when I was six, so this is so special. I moved here right after college. I was acting, doing theater in New York. I was doing off-Broadway plays and dancing, and yeah, I had a friend whose parents had an apartment out here, so I was like, fuck it. Because that's how you move to California. I feel like if I knew all the shit I'd have to endure when I got here,
yeah,
I never would have moved.
No one would be here.
We're young and dumb, though, and we're like, yeah, I can do anything.
Yeah. Because,
you know?
Like, in Pennsylvania, I was like, yo, I'm, like, pretty cool in Pennsylvania. And then I got here, I was like, oh.
And you were like, it's no, all the prom kings and all the funniest people in high school and all of the professional athletes. And yeah,
I was just talking to somebody about that, of how, like, LA is, there's one person in every high school that people are like, yo, you're awesome. If anyone can do it, you can do it.
That's all of
the
LA.
The problem is there's like 10 million high schools in America and the rest of the world.
Exactly.
And every one of those people
are in Los Angeles.
Every day.
It's survival of the fittest out here. That's what I think.
Everyone's good.
And that's why I teach fitness classes, because I just try to get it right and get it tight and keep it fit. No, I live here. I moved out here to be a serious actress and fell into doing stand-up comedy. And never thought I'd be doing that. So I do stand up. I still act. I write. I host my own podcast. You guys, if you go to iTunes or Audio Boom, listen to What's Your Jersey? It's my podcast.
It's not hosted in an escape room, though.
No. I might bring it here, though.
That would be a cool podcast.
Escape rooms?
Like every week, like they're in, like they just like wear a headset. It's like talk about how terrible it is that they're trapped in a room.
You should do it, Chris.
I've never been in an escape room.
I haven't either. I really want to do the escape hotel, though, which is downstairs.
Yeah.
Ish. It's like a block away. I don't know.
We're in the attic.
I'm lost. I hear bands playing. This feels like home, though. And
so let's talk. This is good. We're off to a good start.
Thank God. I wouldn't want to disappoint you and all your listeners. You guys have a lot of episodes. I'm proud of you.
Going back to the thought of what makes people think, like, the illusion of professionalism, and like, I mean, I think I'm pretty professional in most of the things that I do, but part of the thing, I was talking to Scott actually about this. Scott's listening right now.
Hi, Scott.
About how, like, in my show, I have like a big backdrop, like a huge backdrop that says my name.
Yeah.
And all these things, it's like kind of just like to, it's kind of like for me.
Okay.
To like make me like pumped up like before the show, like, yeah, this is, I'm going to do it.
Now, are you talking about your podcast or like your actual show you're about to perform at?
My solo show, like my live
theater solo show. Anyway, the point of that was being, and I'm finding this is relevant to showbiz people in general, I think. I'm finding now that I have more and more podcast episodes, like more than 50, people are like saying yes a lot more to it.
That's great.
Because it's just like a thing. Like if you have, when you have like 8 episodes, people are like,
yeah.
He just started he doesn't know what he's doing. But then after 50 or 60, or like, I can't imagine when people that have like 1,000 episodes, everyone must say yes. Because they're like, well, yeah, it must be good.
It must be good.
Because you didn't quit yet.
Well, I do think it's quality versus quantity. If like you have 1,000 shitty episodes,
right?
Like anyone could have 1,000 shitty episodes.
Right, you just do it every, like 4 a day.
Yeah, like I mean, but you're not shitty, so yeah, I think everyone should say yes to you. I was listening to some of your stuff, and I have a few favorites.
What's your favorites?
I really liked the ex ambassadors episode.
Oh, that was a great story.
Which yeah,
I haven't. I don't know if I told that story in a while.
Really?
I don't know.
Tell
do you want
us
to interview
story.
Me about my
I know.
Podcast?
God damn it. I have to. This is about
Gabby
me,
Gabby was
Chris.
The same thing. She was like, she was like asking me questions. She's like, this is just what I do.
And I hate it when people ask me like questions on my podcast. I'm like, shut up. I'm asking you questions.
I'll do the short version of it and then lead it into a question back to you. And the ex-ambassadors, because I think it's relevant to like Hollywood and showbiz and stuff. I was actually not in Hollywood, but I wanted an interview with Andrew McMahon from Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness, Something Corporate, Jack's Mannequin, etc. Yeah. And ex-ambassadors were opening for him at the time because they were not as big as it was like right before they became world like superheroes.
Yeah, you got them at a good spot.
Yeah.
Right before they really hit.
So I hit up Andrew's management like a lot for him and other artists, and they just never respond to me. Mm. So I was like, oh, ex-ambassadors are opening for him, so I'll just interview them, and that's great. And I like hit up ex-ambassadors management, and they were like, yeah, sweet, here's the tour manager's phone number, text her, and like figure it out. Like, but
how did
but
you even
in.
Find their management, though? Like, how did you do that?
You, it's really, like, you can go on most, so if people want, I hate to do this.
I know, your secrets.
But it's so public, like, almost every music artist or celebrity, if you go onto their Facebook page, they have their PR person and their manager listed. Sometimes you need to do a little bit of work and find it, but it's not hard to find.
Which I would be great at. Things. I can like find anything. Like if any friend needs me to stalk like an ex-boyfriend or like find out if someone's cheating on someone, I can deep dive into any situation. So
that's
I feel like
podcasting
if
podcasting is like finding things out about people,
right? I feel like I could do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the story ends with I'm interviewing ex-ambassadors backstage because I found their manager and they were like, cool. And before they were huge. And I'm packing up my stuff. I have podcast stuff. And Andrew walks by and he was like bored. Because he's like backstage, he's like by himself. He had like his own dressing room. He's just like exploring around. He sees like me, I don't belong there. And he's like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Not like in like, why are you here? But he was like curious, like, hey, what's going on? Like, can I hang out? And I was like, oh, I just did a podcast interview with ex-ambassadors. I do like an interview show. Do you want to be on my podcast? And he's like, yeah.
That's honestly, that applies to so many areas of like making it and Hollywood, because sometimes it's just being in the right place at the right time. And like people that are huge and very successful get bored too.
Yeah.
And are just kind of like, yo, like, let's do this. Like I've reached out, I have reaches and certain people I never thought would say yes to me for my podcast, but like if they have free time.
Yeah.
And granted, I serve meatballs and have like alcohol for people when I do my podcast. I call my listeners meatballs, so it's become a thing.
Do you have uplights?
Do I what?
Do you have uplights?
You're killing it with the uplights.
I mean, meatballs, though.
I know. But yeah, I've learned that if people are around and, you know, are just like bored and want to hang, it doesn't matter like how big they are, like they'll do it.
Yeah.
If they're cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I spent the time to actually share that because I think it's cool and worth people knowing, because people see me like do the things that I do that are very public and visible.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody recently just said this to me, they're like, I wish I had half the luck as you have. And I'm like, 35 people just ignored my emails like this hour.
Exactly. No.
I'm like, there's just like, I just email. It's like if you can email, the key to success is emailing more people than everyone else.
So many more people. No, it's so fun. It's so hard to not get in your head about this shit, though.
Yeah.
Because like I'm an actress. I do stand up. I do the podcast. I put myself out there and produce certain things. And there's so much rejection just in auditioning that like having to like ask people to do shows, having to ask people to do podcasts, there's rejection in that too on top of it. But you just have to keep going and you get that one yes. And that can like turn your whole like mood around, which is so sad. But it is, I don't know. It's a numbers game.
Yeah. And it's kind of just happened to me recently. I was like, kind of like slow. I was like doing a lot of stuff. People were like, oh, you're crushing it. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I was like, yeah, I like did like a lot of free shows and like performances and stuff. So it looked awesome. And people were like, yeah, you're crushing it. Meanwhile, I was like, yeah, but like I can't pay rent because I'm like performing
all the time
in Hollywood
for,
you know, gas money or something.
Oh my God, they even paid you?
But then, sometimes.
That's so weird.
Not always.
It's kind of like all or nothing in Hollywood, I find, where either you're not getting paid anything or like you're getting paid like a ridiculous amount of money for doing what you would do for nothing.
Right.
It's so stupid, but that's just
like
kind of how it is.
You get paid for 4 years all in one night.
Exactly. It's so funny. No, I was actually just... So I almost canceled on Chris today.
Oh boy.
Even though he canceled on me last week. And I'm not a flake, so I'm not going to do that. But I was having a day, and this story actually I think really applies itself to your podcast.
All right. I didn't know this. So.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. I will get people that will write on my wall, like, oh my God, you're killing it. Like, you're doing so good. And like, it's so funny because I feel like sometimes we don't even pay attention to those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we focus on the negative or whatever.
Right.
So for some reason, I woke up this morning, nothing bad happened. But I just woke up being like sad and I had to reach out to all these people and no one was getting back to me. And I was like, what the fuck? And so then I got ready for an audition and I like went over all the sides and like preparing for auditions, you should do all the work. I think you do all the work and then you forget the work. And you go in the room and you're just like on. But also maybe don't prepare for like 2 hours and like really focus on everything. Like it was just a lot of getting ready.
Yeah.
And my car had broken down. So I had to Uber to the audition in Burbank. And I walk in and it's so not a big deal. It's a casting office I'd already been to and felt comfortable in. But I get in there and they're like, we don't want you to do any of the copy. Like, make everything your own. So basically all the work I did didn't even matter.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Like, I love riffing and improvising, whatever. Then I look at my phone and I get a text. And it's my best friend who apparently was sitting behind me at the audition. She was like, I like your outfit. I was like, oh, shit, you're here too. Cool. Which calmed me down. Then, like... Another girl, like if you've been in LA long enough, like you'll start to see a lot of the same comics and people at auditions. So another girl was there. So like it puts you at ease. But these people didn't know what the hell they wanted. It was me, dudes, like all different shapes and sizes, like whatever. Anyway, so you're sitting. I sat in that waiting room for like an hour.
Yeah.
Which is, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Go in, you do 5 minutes of work. They're like, great job. And then you're out. And you're just like, oh, okay. And I just had a moment. Like, I had to wait for my Uber. My Uber got lost. Came home and just started hysterically crying to my mom on the phone. And I was like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, nothing's really wrong. I just went to this weird audition. I feel like I'm about to do a podcast to talk about, like, career and the drive and, like, the dream. And I am, like, sobbing hysterically because I have to, like, go to my side job for the next 4 nights in a row that I don't want to go to.
Yeah.
And I think honestly, like everyone goes through this because I have podcasts. I'm sorry. I'm like getting distracted by the pop music.
There's
that's
music
happening.
I
love it.
I don't know if they can hear it on the.
No, it's amazing. I like want to see what's happening down there.
There's nonsense happening down there.
Point of the whole story is that we all go through this shit and I feel like it doesn't matter like what industry you're in, like sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Yeah. And to get out of it, my mom was like, you need to like go for a run, just like go get out of your head, like just a half an hour of just like something that's not acting, that's not, you know, driving, it's not, it's just go. And I went for a run and I listened to your podcast and it made me feel so much better. And I'm
That's
here
great.
Now.
Now you're on it.
Now I'm
in
here
it.
And feel better about life.
Yeah, there's some sort of, yeah, that music really is. I hope they can't hear it.
It reminds me of like an 80s amazing workout video.
They're cats.
They're cats?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's why there's like screeching.
This is amazing.
Because they're cats.
I want to go on stage with them. No.
They're people that are cats.
They're people that are cats.
I'm trying to turn this down so that they can't hear it.
Maybe I don't know. I think it's like nice background.
You can go look
music.
If you want.
No, I'm good.
Oh.
I will. I'm just picturing what these cats are looking like. I'm getting FOMO though. I want to go play with them, like dance with them and stuff.
Oh, yeah. There's like, I don't know if it's like Tony Robbins or one of those people, and he talks about that of just like changing your state of. He's like, if you're feeling like that, then what our natural thing is to like lay on the floor. And like, just be like shut down.
Yeah.
And then like in our brain, we just that makes obviously things way worse.
Mm-hmm.
And we just like shut down. And it's like he does stuff like jumps in like ice baths and stuff because he just like it shut. And then he like it sucks to do it because like the last thing you want to do is like get ready and go for a run or jump in like an ice bath or something. But then you like finish it and you're like, oh, everything's fine,
right?
And it's just like and it's just that changing like forcing your body out of. This whatever it is feeling comfortable in.
I recommend it to anyone that's blocked or feels stuck or wants to cry. It's very hard to cry while you run, by the way. So,
oh yeah,
if you want to stop crying,
wow, that's right? what it is.
That's it.
Yeah,
you know, it is what it is.
And going back earlier to how you were saying you've kind of you were just like in that state, and then you like get into a podcast thing where you talk about like showbiz and Hollywood and all this. I actually love that. I don't want like to dwell on it, but I actually love hearing stories of people that are like, yeah, didn't know what the heck I was doing today. Like I felt like I was lost.
Yeah.
Because there's people who see us out there and they're like, oh, if only I was living their life. And meanwhile, like it's so important to realize that everyone has all these like, there's no such thing as like making it.
And no, because even the people that have made it keep wanting
like,
more.
Like now I need to go do this next thing. And
totally.
Hear like all these. I was working on a movie with Steve Carell, and he was like talking about how he was like nervous about going to auditions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you're Steve Carell.
Yeah.
You're one of the most famous comedy people in the world. And he was like just talking like a human. And he was like, yeah, I really didn't think I was going to get this. And everyone was just like, what?
I love that.
How?
But I think that's like a double.
It's so valuable to hear that, though.
I think we need to hear that.
Yeah.
That's the double-edged sword with what we do. I think it's good to always have that like fear or drive or like want to like keep doing more. I think once you lose that, it's like maybe it's time to retire.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like that keeps you creative. It keeps that fire under your butt a little bit, you know. But everyone does go through it. Everyone has ups and downs. And, you know, like we don't put the crying on Instagram. Well, actually, I know some people that do.
Some people do that.
Yeah. I mean,
there's like no middle ground, really. There's people that are like really awesome every day, just the awesome stuff. And then there's the people that are like just the car crash moments of.
That's true. I just wanted to get real. I feel more relaxed now, though, because of it.
Yeah.
Which is good.
That's good.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it.
You think people are still listening?
I hope so. What do you guys want to know?
I think they're to our live audience.
I know. I'm like to our live audience. Sorry.
In this box.
Not there.
I think more people are listening, and I think more people are intrigued and engaged now because there's real moments that they're going through.
Yeah.
And they're inspired. How about we do a... There's those moments. So we just went through a moment where it's like it feels like the end of the world because it seems crazy and it's not.
No,
it's just like everything's fine. Today might be terrible, or today might actually be terrible. You know, for whatever wherever you are, like the people are like, no, it's fine. Well, like no, some days suck.
I always say if a girlfriend says to her boyfriend, everything's fine, nothing. is fine, and you better fucking do some detective work and figure your shit
out.
Get
on Instagram right now.
Yeah, just nothing is fine. It's bad.
That's funny.
I know.
So when everything is actually fine,
yeah,
what's that feeling like? You know, we all got into showbiz, or we started doing whatever we're doing because we imagined this moment of getting up on stage or mm-hmm. whatever it is, and you know, people liking us and people cheering and clapping, or you know, people liking our stuff on Instagram. And there are those moments
happen. Yes.
Every once in a while, they actually do happen. What's that feel like for you when something, like whether it's, you know, getting a big, like nailing an audition, the music's getting crazier here, nailing an audition or like doing a stand-up set or like crushing a podcast interview, something like whatever it is, what's that feel like? And like, then instead of going home and like crying, what's that like just inside your emotions and feeling?
It's like funny. I feel like those big moments you need to remember when you're in those states of like feeling like, oh, I suck. This isn't worth it. Nothing's going my way. I've had a few recently, really good ones. So as a side job, kind of this time last year, I started nannying on set for like a famous boy bander. And he was doing his first like scripted comedy show, which I didn't know when I got hired. I thought it was going to be a reality show when I got hired. So I was like, I don't want to be on camera, like whatever. And then I get there the first day and they're like, you're coming to the table read. And I go and it's all these comedians that I know that are like cast on the show. And I was like, what the fuck? And then I had to be on set with like all of my peers, but like I'm watching the kids who are so like that was very humbling. And so there was one day, like the set was their house for a lot of it. And there was one day where they're like, you have to be here really early. And of course, for some reason, I had had comedy shows very late that night before, went to bed, and my alarm didn't go off. So I wake up to my phone going off like an hour after I was supposed to be at the house. And like, it's the mom being like, where are you? Like, everyone's going crazy. And I'm like, fuck me. I'm like, I'm the worst. Like, I can't do this anymore. And I'm driving to set and I get a phone call and it's from this producer. And I had gone in a bunch of times for this big movie and I hadn't heard anything in a while. And I'm driving to work crying because I'm like, fuck my life. This sucks. I don't want to be nannying on set for a comedy show. And the producer calls me and is like, guess what? You booked it. And I was like, what? And he was like, you booked the movie. Like, it's yours. The part's yours. And I'm like, wait, what? And like, it's just like moments like that where you just got to laugh and be like, this is so ridiculous. Like, first of all, the life I live in, like literally I walk into the house and like Joey Fatone from NSYNC is sitting there and I'm like, what's up? And I literally was like, that's it. I'm quitting. And then I was like, okay, Jacqueline, wait, like you haven't filmed the movie yet. Like calm down. Like you still need to pay your bills. So that was a moment I'll always remember of like being just like, God damn it, I can't do this anymore. And then getting that like sparkle of hope and light and like recognition of actually the work you put into the auditions and all that came to be.
Yeah.
So that's a moment that felt really good. And then about 9 months ago, actually with your last guest, Gabby Conti, I love doing parodies. I do a lot of like musical parodies. I used to have like a white girl rap group called WeHo Click. And we had one that was like Amp Radio played it. And so like it was kind of like a little viral thing and we kept making them and that fell off, whatever, but it was cool. And recently, the song A Million Reasons, are you familiar with it? Lady Gaga?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that came out. Again, I was sitting in traffic with the kids screaming in the car, and that song came on the radio, and I just, like, looked out the window and was like, this year sucked, and it was 2016. And I was like, wait, A Million Reasons Why 2016 sucked.
Yeah.
And I first went to my best friend, Rachel O'Brien, who's a comedian. And I was like, would you make this parody with me? And she was like, fuck no, I've already made one. That's not my thing. And I was like, cool, got it. Know your lane. I respect you. And then I went home. Gabby and I live together. Gabby is a really funny writer, comedian, host. We had produced a comedy show called Holy Cannoli Comedy. So we were like working on that. She comes in like white girl wine wasted from a date. And I was like, hey, want to write this parody with me? And we just sat down and it literally took us like an hour to just bang out this parody. And then she reached out. This is how things happen organically that I know are like magical and like meant to be. She reached out to Half Day Today, which is a production company. And they were like, we'll fund it. We'll do it. We were literally on set within a week. They got the same guitar Lady Gaga uses in the video, built the same sets. Like, it was all just like so fast and quick. But when you have like good material and people get excited about it, that's how it happens. We film it. She leaves for like Hong Kong the next day. I leave for Jersey because it was like Christmas break. And Lady Gaga had released the video 2 days before we filmed it. So it was a very fast turnaround. And over Christmas break, all of a sudden, Huffington Post posted the video. And then Elite Daily posted the video. And all of a sudden, I remember being like, oh, man, like, it's not getting as many hits as I want. And I got a text from Gabby being like, Lady Gaga just retweeted our video. And it was like, I was in the car with my mom and I just like started crying. And I know that's like not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. I'm not signed to like Capitol Records now. But it was like, oh my God, like our hard work paid off. And then her producers emailed our producer and they were like, we love what you guys did. We actually like your video better than ours. And so it's like those little moments where like you put in all the hard work and you believe in yourself and you're just like, fuck it. I don't know how we're going to make this happen, but we're going to make this happen.
Yeah.
And it's like stuff like that, that like keeps you going.
So dig into that a little bit more of all that, like all that work that went into it. And then that moment of seeing that, the like the retweet or whatever, dig into that feeling, like what's, because people want, some people have never had that happen yet. And they want it to. So dig in, what's that like? Like what's that, what, you kind of said you were just like, wow. But like, what's that really like?
I started crying and it, not like sad tears. It was just like, oh my God, like, I can't believe this happened. Like this actually reached someone that I never thought this would reach. And then we were driving to go to, funny enough, a restaurant called Paparazzi, which is a song that Lady Gaga has.
I hear a parody in the world.
I know, right? And it's just one of those things where it like renews your faith in like what you're doing and why you're doing it, because I love making people happy, you know, and that's, I started doing comedy because I, long story short, I always remembered as a little girl, my grandmother, who I never met, who apparently I'm very much like, when she was in the hospital and going through chemo, the only thing that made her happy was Robin Williams' live stand-up. And so I always remembered that and like always remembered that, yeah, we're just telling jokes, but it gets people to forget about all the shit that's going on in their lives. You know, like I think laughter is the best medicine for everything.
Yeah.
And I just love entertaining.
Yeah.
So that video alone, I know, helped a lot of people, because 2016, we commented on Prince and Bowie, everyone passing away. We commented on, you know, Hillary and Trump. We commented on Bumble and shitty dating apps and Beyonce and Lemonade and Becky with the good hair and like just, you know, ClassPass and like all the card chips and the fucking credit card, like just everything that was annoying.
Credit card chips.
Yeah, like just like every, like how John Mayer didn't have a good song. Like it was just okay. Like, you know, so it just, I think a lot of people related to it and it made them happy and it renewed for me. I was like, no, I need to keep going. I need to do more. Yeah. Like this is the stuff that like drives my soul and my passion. And I actually recently went to her concert 2 weeks ago and I wasn't gonna go because I had to work my side job. I was supposed to bartend that night and I like needed money, and my main squeeze was like, no, your soul needs to go to this concert.
Yeah.
And it was probably the best concert I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Just not because I think we're best friends, because she retweeted me. So like that makes you best friends, right?
You had a sign like, you retweeted me. Like, do you remember?
Remember? Stephanie, I love your work. I know. She's a goal. She's my podcast guest goal.
Nice. Well, yes. Try to get one of her opening acts to say yes.
She's so cool. She doesn't even have one.
And just hang out.
I know. Yeah. I need to like stalk one of her like band members or dancer or something.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I recently had a good friend of mine who I met. She was a choreographer on a show I did, and now she's been dancing for Britney Spears for the past 4 years in the Piece of Me tour. She was a great guest on my podcast. And her story, which also every other very successful person I've had on, the through line is they just went with what they kept getting hired for and with what made them happy and what they felt good doing, you know, and they had to let go. I feel like a lot with our careers, we like hold on so tight and you try so hard and you try to make it work. And sometimes you just have to like sit back. Don't be lazy. I'm not talking about like... shutting the lights off and like eating ice cream in your bed and just being like, it's gonna happen. This feels good. But everyone I've interviewed, including her, like she just didn't really think she'd be a dancer, kind of wanted to act, but always kept booking dancing jobs. So that's her career and that's her life.
Yeah. Before we wrap this up here in a minute, touching on that, there's a Jim Carrey talked, I think he was talking to Oprah or something, and she was talking how he used to when he was like hustling, doing stand up. Around, he would go up to Mulholland and just like at night, like the middle of the night, and just like overlook the city because it was like the peaceful place. And he said he would like imagine himself like among the stars of LA and just like get into that mindset. And then she said something about like, but you were actually working too, right? He's like, yeah, you can't just like go up there and eat a sandwich.
No.
You
gotta, like, so like really funny you bring him up. I, on Sunday, binge watched all 10 episodes of I'm Dying Up Here. I literally sat with my best friend and was like, fuck it. And we were like supposed to go to two different shows and we canceled both. And there is a scene where Andrew Santino's character, he's an amazing comic. He's one of the leads where they're at the top of Mulholland and they're bashing in a car. And it's like a breakthrough moment for his character. And then he eventually, I don't want to spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. I don't care.
He books the Tonight Show basically after this whole like therapy bashing a car in that was his dad's whatever session. So that's very symbolic of that series. Cool. And that series is also very, very inspirational and motivational. If there's anything you can do, watch. I'm Dying Up Here.
Cool.
It just got renewed for a second season.
Oh, great.
So hopefully I'll be on it.
Yeah.
Putting it out there, universe.
Putting it out there.
Yeah. It's cool, though. You guys should watch it and like it.
All right, cool. So finally, to tie things up, I like the final thought to be somebody who's listening, who is thinking about doing stuff. They're seeing your stuff that you're posting, like, doing this and doing this and hosting this and getting this gig and doing this. And they're like, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But they keep kind of focusing on those road hurdles, roadblocks, whatever it might be that are pretty much only exist in their mind. You know, I get people like, oh, what kind of microphones do I need for my podcast? I'm like, ugh.
Just get a
microphone. You lost already. Like,
just fucking do it.
So, what advice do you have for someone like that? Maybe even, you know, like a young person or old person who's thinking about doing something, and they need a little boost.
Need a little boost. I don't want to say just do it because that's so trite and easy to say. Like, oh, cool, just do it. Great, thanks. I obviously know that. I want to say nothing's perfect. Nobody's perfect. Just get out of your own way. If you fall down, what's the worst thing that could happen? Like, just fucking like lose all the insecurities. Just try to be like, well, if it sucks, it sucks. But I'm still alive. Like the first time I ever did stand up. A, your first show as a stand up comic is usually amazing because it's a bringer show. So it's like all your best friends. And so you get a lot of laughs. The second time I ever did stand up, like it kind of sucked, but I didn't stop doing it. It's just like, well, that kind of sucked, but there's something there. Just know that, like, I don't think Picasso's first painting was perfect. Yeah. I don't think any of them are perfect,
right?
But he's Picasso, and you keep going. I think you keep going if it's making you happy and feeding your soul, and you got to be doing it for yourself. That's the thing. If you're doing it for just attention and recognition, you know, be an Instagram model. I don't know. like that's just not, I know that's like easy to say, but
yeah, just no, totally
do what makes you happy. And I think also like being happy in your personal life is a big part of it, you know, and the more relaxed you are with stuff, the easier it will come to you, you know, so yeah, just try it.
And to get to that, I'll add something to that. And to get to that point where you're content with whatever your art, quote art, and then personal things is like only comes from doing it a lot. Mm-hmm. Like every day.
For sure. It's, I find I had a really good teacher, Brian Pataka, who he runs a thing in LA called Actor Salon. And it's almost like a therapy for actors where you just check in with each other and you keep each other accountable.
Yeah.
And one of the things he has you do is like set a timer on your phone. So you hold yourself accountable for doing your craft at least for an hour a day.
Right.
Whether it's writing, whether it's going to an open mic, whether it's, you know, getting together with your actor friends and doing scenes or emailing casting directors or something. It's just doing it for at least an hour, half an hour.
Anything.
Anything.
Like, just open the thing for whatever.
Yeah.
Just like commit to starting it.
Exactly.
I don't think the time matters.
I also think finding your people is really helpful. I love, like when I'm feeling out of touch, I just go to the comedy store by myself and walk from like room to room and sit in the back.
Yeah.
And just being there with the creative people,
I
think helps and like feeds your soul.
Yeah.
So find your people. I think that makes it easier. And also people that are more successful than you, because it kind of forces you to like rise up and be like, oh, fuck that. I want that. I want to work as hard as them, you know?
Yeah.
Because I before ever starting stand-up, worked at the Laugh Factory for 2 years. Not even, I quit and still didn't do stand-up. I just got to see these people go up on stage every single night. Yeah. And the great ones work at it every single night.
Right.
So I think that applies to a lot of stuff.
Where do you want to send people to check out all your stuff?
What's Your Jersey podcast on iTunes and Audioboom. And then on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, I am at Jacqueline Marfuji, which is JacqueLynMarfuggi.
Cool. And wherever you're listening to this, there's going to be something attached to it that says your name on it, on your whatever screen you're looking at to hear this.
Thanks, Chris.
Cool. Thanks for joining the room.
I made it. Nothing jumped out at me.
We didn't escape yet.
You're right, actually. I'm really excited for what's going to happen next.
All right. We got to go. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Bye.
That's the show. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Between Dreams podcast. If you know someone who you think might get something valuable out of hearing this episode or this show in general, share it with them. You can let them know they can find the show by searching Between Dreams wherever you listen to podcasts. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, podcast app on your phone. And of course, as always, on the website, chrisruggiero.com/podcast. So we're really excited to have a lot of just incredible people who are joining the show and amazing people who are listening. I'm getting some really amazing feedback, which you can contribute to if you would like to just say hello or recommend a guest or ask a question for some upcoming guests. If you're working on something and just feeling stuck and you feel like you want to get some input from me or one of the guests, feel free to send a message anytime. You can send me an email directly at ruggiero.christopher@gmail.com. So you can just send me an email just like that. That's ruggiero.christopher@gmail.com. Send me an email, or if you go to the website, chrisruggiero.com/podcast, there's I think you can figure out a way to send me a message there as well. Cool. Okay. I will talk to you guys soon. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.